Welcome everyone to Be Better Betters. I'm the host, Spanky. Thanks for listening. My guest this week is a former amateur sports bettor turned professional. His story is such an inspiration to anybody listening, and to especially me, who when I heard his story, I'm like, I gotta have you on for you to tell this story on how you came up in the business. So I'm really excited to have you on. Please welcome Tim Fraley. Tim, thanks for coming on, brother.
Spanky, sir, I'm still in shock. I mean, this is where it all began for me and my new journey to become a winning bettor, to learn how to become one. And you've taught me how to do that. And this is a privilege. This is a dream come true.
Tim, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And let's start. So, what was your first interactions with gambling? And then how did you? We're gonna take it step by step through a life story to where you're at now. So, how did you first interact with gambling?
Well, Spank, I hate to be cliche, but it's just like everybody else. My brother is. He's a lot older than me. He's about 11 and a half years older than me. And his first job, he brought home those little parlay cards that everybody talks about to get you hooked. And my dad would give me $5 and he said, fill one out. And so I did. And it took about the first three or four, loser, loser, loser. But you finally hit that one and it's like, I was hooked. And I knew early on at about the age of 7 when my favorite TV show was the NFL Today, and the favorite segment was Jimmy the Greek. Was my favorite part of it. I knew I may have a little bit of a problem coming, but we'll see where that turned out. But yeah, it's been in my blood from a very young age.
Yeah, parlay cards was also my first introduction to the world of sports betting. As a kid, it kind of gets you those tickets. It's amazing how and those tickets, believe it or not, are still around till this very day.
Unbelievable. And
yeah. So, the family, your brother was betting. How about your pops? Was he betting? How did you? Any inspiration from the family?
Yeah, I mean, my dad, he was a truck driver all of his life. Him and my uncle had a trucking company, and he had a weekly poker game every Tuesday night. And I mean, just like Spider from Goodfellas. I mean, honestly, from a kid at 8, 9 years old, I was making sandwiches, popping tops on the Pabst Blue Ribbons, and making drinks and just around it. And it was just a little $1, $2, 7 card stud game with him and the drivers to work for him. And I just always just was fascinated by it. Just the thought of just making that quick money, I loved it. But I mean, I've been around it. My brother, he got hooked on the horses early on, and that was a losing proposition. So I saw that and I was like, man, I don't want to go down that path. But being from a small town where all we had was sports, and I just lived it. And I lived everything. I watched everything I could watch. And I thought, you know what, I can do this. And one day I was 15 years old, after begging my dad to let me play. He, one of the drivers couldn't make it in. He got caught in a snowstorm, and he let me sit in a play. I had saved up $100 from tips from, months of, the guys giving me $1 here or whatever to bring him a drink or make him a sandwich. And I got to sit in with the big boys. And I thought, here we go. This is it. And I was lucky enough to win $100, and it was in 1990, and the Super Bowl, the Giants and the Bills was like a couple of days away. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, my brother was a lifelong Giants fan growing up in Southern Indiana. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I don't know how he became a Giants fan, but he was. And I had a little bias. I wanted to see him win, but I said, I thought the Giants are going to win. And I said, we didn't really have a bookie, but we knew someone who did. And he goes, I'll tell you what, you won $100. I'm going to let you wager on this game. And if you win, you can keep on going. And if you lose, you're done. And, it's not a lot of fathers will let you do that. But my family growing up was a little different. My mom was an angel and a saint. My dad, he was a roustabout. He actually, big time degenerate. So a lot of things I should have been watching him learn not what to do. I was watching him, and I just wanted to be a part of it. And of course, the Giants won the Super Bowl, won outright, and that was it. I was on my way.
So you're building up a little bit bankroll. You're just using your gut, as a fan. You might be reading articles, reading newspapers, watching Jimmy the Greek or whatever, or watching, Jim Feist or any of these TV shows. How do you experience success early on? Or you better, what are you doing? Talk about, after that Giant Super Bowl, are you working? How are you earning?
I'm 15 years old, and so the first bet was $100. And I thought, well, you've got at least, I mean, a bookie isn't going to take anything less than 100. And it's like, well, my bankroll is only 200. I don't want to, bet a couple games and lose. So I recruited my two best friends that grew up together, and I would bet 50, and they would bet, 25 each. So there's our $100. And I guess, truly unreal, the luck that we had for a long period of time. The book, of course, had no idea my age. I was the one that did all the betting. My dad did all the collecting. Thank God we kind of sounded alike, so there was not much, there was no he I mean he couldn't tell. But we got a number. I was number 33B. I'd call in, and this is what we want. And I will say, we were very unfortunate to be fortunate for a very long time, because over we just kept winning. And we have now we could tell you every player, every team. We That's all we did. I grew up in a town of 800 people. We couldn't even field a football team. We didn't have enough kids. But we just live and breathe sports. That's all we had. My graduating class had 56 kids in it. So that was, I'm talking about smallest of small schools. And so one of my friends would concentrate on he loved the NBA, so that was his. I was the college basketball guy. The other guy was the kid was the football guy. And we would just put our heads together and just read articles, and we just thought we knew everything, but we actually knew nothing. We were just lucky. And we were lucky for a long period. And we end up getting cut off after about 2 years with that book. It's almost like a movie. And thinking back to it, literally, my dad would collect on Tuesdays. I'd make the envelopes up on Tuesday nights, and I would meet my buddies in the bathroom at school, and we're just passing out envelopes, just like you'd see on a mafia show or something. It was crazy. It was just unreal.
But
And
when, so you're getting lucky, you're doing good, you're winning. When does the luck run out, Tim?
well, like I said, end up, like I said, lost that book, found another book. And in the meantime, there's no secret what I'm doing. I start booking, 10 guys turn into 20 guys, 20 guys turn into 30 guys. And next thing you know, with my new book, he knew that I was laying a lot of stuff off. And he's like, "Why don't you just come to work for me? And I'll give you a percentage of the take, and you don't have to worry about any of this anymore." And that was the greatest thing in the world, because I didn't have to worry about winning. I was winning off of working for him. I was still in it, didn't have to worry about sweating any kind of games. And I didn't have to worry about the collecting. He did it all. I just sat back and took a percentage of the clients that I brought to him. So I, it was like a recruiter. I just wanted to keep grabbing more and more and more people to keep my percentage going. And I had built up like I said, 20 years old. I bought into our family company. I had six figures in the bank, driving the best of vehicles. I just really thought I had the world by the ass. It was never going to stop, never going to change. And then in and again, I was very fortunate for a long time, and which turned out to be unfortunate. In 2000, went through some personal issues. My high school sweetheart and mother of my son came home and said she was leaving. She left, not only did she leave me, she left him. She was gone. She goes, "I don't want to be a part of this anymore." And over a 6 month period of time, I absolutely lost my mind. Instead of thinking about him and what he's going to do, I was just worried about how I was going to handle being a single father raising a 4 year old, three, it was 3 and a half at the time. And how am I going to do this? And I just, first instinct was to, I've never had adversity in life. I just wanted to always know how to do. I always knew how to pick a winner. I could always pick a winner. And instead of, betting, a nickel a game, I'm starting betting dimes a game. My mentor, my book I work for, he said, "Son, you're going down a path. I don't, I could see, I've seen it before, and I said, oh, I've got this under control." And next thing you know, under control meant over a 6 month period, losing over six figures, losing the company that I had bought into with my father. I mean, he lost everything that I, because I lost it all. And I mean, it just was, you talking about being on top of the mountain to under the mountain. I went from having it, having it all at an early age to having nothing and not knowing what I'm going to do. So,
Whoa, so this is so the baby mama leaves you, you're with your son, and you, do you have family to help raise your son with you?
thank God for my mom. My mom again. My dad was a truck driver. He was gone all the time. My mom was, I mean, he's my hero. But I mean, he probably taught me all the things that he probably shouldn't have taught me. Now, my mom was the rock, and of course, while I'm out drinking, while I'm out partying, doing God knows what with whomever, just trying to kill the pain. And in the meantime, I had to have action, and I kept chasing and chasing and chasing, and then while my mom is, she's being, it's not only she's being grandma, mom, father, all in one. And raising my, raising my son, while I'm out, just being an idiot. I mean, honestly, just, worried about myself, being very selfish. And one thing I've never been as selfish, and I was very selfish, and I paid the price.
Do you gamble the family truck business away, essentially?
All of it.
How does Pops, th how, what is Pops' reaction to this?
Well, I mean, Pops was, so my dad, he was, he had a bad poker problem. He tried to bet. He couldn't. He was the worst. I mean, I'm telling you, he would come in and on a Saturday, he goes, "Let's bet every favorite for a nickel pop. Let's bet every dog for a nickel pop." I mean, he just wanted the action, the gamble. So he had a little bit of a problem there. So he knew what I was doing, but yet he was turning a blind eye, and he thought I had it under control. And then when he realized that we were going about to lose everything we had, and there was no coming back from it, that I wasn't paying the, any of the debtors. And then I mean, he had to go back to work, and he had to work until he couldn't. I mean, he drove a semi until his late 70s, and it was basically because of what, the path I took over a 6 month period. And I mean, it's something that, I mean, it's hard. It's still hard to talk about to this day. You don't ever want to be a failure, and I failed everybody.
Well, it's just
It's.
a, it's, I, this is important that we talk about this, Tim, because it's just a reminder that gambling, as fun as it can be and as enjoyable to for some others, that shit could ruin lives. And gambling is a sickness and an illness. And sometimes, like you said, people use it as a way to relieve the pain from other things happening in their life. And I, you know, that was just so hard, you know, to hear that. And I know it must have been hard for your dad to go through it, your mom, yourself, and your son, and everything. So all right, you're on the bottom now. You can't go down any further. What do you do? You know, most people, a lot of people would have jumped off a bridge. Some people would have just went homeless. How did you, what did you, what made you, you know, make a comeback?
Well, I'll never forget. I was at rock bottom. I was below rock bottom, and I'm gonna tear up saying it. But my little boy comes up to me, and he asks me, "What's wrong? What's wrong, Daddy? What's wrong?" And that's the point when I realized that I've been worried about everything that's wrong. I've been worried about me. I've been worried about the addiction. Worried about the money. What I needed to be worried about was that little boy right there. And then that's when I grew up for the first time. I mean, I never punched a clock in my whole entire life until I was, 24 years old. I mean, mean, all I knew was gambling. That's all I knew. Didn't need to, I mean, I made good grades in school, but hell, I quit going to school. I was making more money than the teachers. I mean, what am I going to listen to somebody telling me? You know, I was a, I mean, I played tennis, I played basketball. You know, the coaches knew what I were doing. They said either quit the gambling or you're off the team. I said, well, you know, excuse my language, but fuck you, I'm off the team. I'm not quitting. I mean, I'm making, you know, I've made more this year than you had in 2 years working. So no, having said all that, nobody believed that I could start back from zero and get a real job and do it. My best friend helped me get a job at working retail at a place making less than $10 an hour. Everybody said you can't do it, and that's one thing I've always said. If somebody tells me I can't do it, I'm gonna do it. And it took me 19 years to get to where I needed to be, but I worked my way up from just a regular salesperson to assistant manager to manager to area manager to district manager, and that's about the time when COVID came around. So, and I again, the betting was off the table. No more bets. Just I had to walk away from it, and that was one of the hardest things I had to do because that's all I knew from an early age. The only thing that the constant in my life was the betting. It was always there, no matter what was going on in life. I knew, you know, especially back in those days, from 5 until 7:30, I was on the phone either booking or betting. Because that's when the shops were open. And I mean, I had to leave all that. And so no more bets until 2019 when Indiana went legal from when PASPA passed.
So
And that's
let's
when
talk.
it
So let's talk
started.
about retail, the retail business. What retail business are you working? You said from did you start working retail 2000, 2004? When would you say?
When did it? Took me a while to get the job. So, 2001,
Gotcha.
the 2001 is when I finally, when I got the job, because this was toward the end of 2000 when everything went to hell in a handbasket. And then, I had no resume. I mean, shit, I hadn't been, I've never worked. What am I going to, you know, I had to have help from a buddy to get the job, but he, you know, he helped me get in the door, and then I just kept working my way up. So for 18 years, no betting, not even on the Super Bowl, not even nothing. Played
Did
an
you?
occasional card game, you know, with my dad because my dad was in a card game every Friday. So if I was off from work, I may go throw, you know, a couple $100 in a card game, but that no betting.
So, you know, you're betting sports so much, you step away from it for about 18 years. What, you know, in those 18 years, was there ever a temptation to place a bet? What made you stay away? Was it because you felt as if you had an obligation to support your son?
And well, in about 2003, my buddies that we started betting with, and another eight or nine of us from high school, I got a phone call and I said, let's do a fantasy football league. And honestly, fantasy football probably, of all things, probably kept me grounded because I still had, I'm a big Cowboys fan, but other than Dallas on TV, I wasn't going to watch a football game. I didn't handle care in it. If I watched it, I wanted to bet it. So I knew, just like anything, if you're an alcoholic, it's hard to go to a bar and sit and have, you know, watch somebody else drink. Yeah, I couldn't. I didn't want to be watching all this these sports and get to, I was afraid of what I could it could happen again. And so if I, fantasy football kept me where I still cared. Didn't matter who really won. I just had to root for certain players. So and that satisfied all the urges. All the wonders. I mean, so I'd really delved into the to that. It was just, you know, $200, winner take all. You know, 2,400 to the winner. But that was to me. That was big money then. So, and it was all the guys that I hadn't seen from high school, and we just reconnected. And so that was in being, I don't want to lose to them. Put it that way. So I mean, I just delved in and really concentrated on the fantasy aspect of the sport, and that kept the urge at bay until it didn't. And that's when I thought, well, you know what, you know, I'm not, I can't, I'm, I got to post up. You know, it's legal now. There was no apps, so I had to go in person, and I went, let me take a couple $100 and let me just see if this new if I can do it again. Almost like De Niro in Casino. At the end of the day, he could always pick a winner. Well, if I could pick a winner, they're good for a while until I didn't. So let me just see if I could do this. And that's when the next phase of the story comes into effect.
All right, so let's go to that phase. 2019, regulated bookmaking enters Indiana. You're now able to, because you didn't want to deal with any, local guys.
No, I done burned my bridges with them. I mean, it took me a while to pay them all off, and some people I was really close to. I mean, I just didn't want to, they were there to help me, almost like an intervention. So I couldn't go back to them because
Gotcha.
everybody thought that, well, if I started betting again, then I'm gonna go down that path. So
All right, so
that's.
you're posted up now, at these places. How does that go?
I took a couple $100. I remember it was, I think, a college football. It was in September. That's when it finally went legal. And I think there was two games on a Thursday night, and the college games. And wouldn't you know, but two games. I looked at the lines, and the line moved towards. I was always a numbers guy. I mean, going back to when I worked with the bookie that I ended up going to work for. He showed me the first odd service, and it was Jim Feist line trackers, and he said, all you had to do was watch Binion's. He goes, if Binion's moves, we move the number. Don't move anything unless Binion's moves. And I was like, what the hell? Why Binion's? I mean, it's funny. Not until August at Bet Bash did I realize what Binion's meant. And who was betting at Binion's, and why Binion's was important. And but I didn't know how to get the best number. So I would always, if the line was three and they would go to four, then I had an odd service, a new odd service that me and my best friend, Big D, we went in together and split. And so I'd see the line move, and then I'd watch it move again. So I would take the second best number because that's where all the pro money's coming. The line wouldn't be moving unless the pros were betting it. And you could get by with that. You can get by for a while. I happened to win the first two games. I said, oh boy, here we go. So 200 became 300. And then next thing you know, I picked two and one. And then the next day was three and two. And next thing you know, I've been got $1,000 in my $200 bankroll then turned to 1,000. But now I am watching strictly the odd screen. I'm not picking anything just off of what I like. But again, I'm playing with fire because I mean, I'm taking numbers that are moved, but I'm not getting the best of it. But I'm just trying to play the side that I think the pros are on. Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know anything until a little podcast came along that I was told to listen to. Then it taught me everything I need to know. But I was winning, and then I would lose. It just was a back and forth battle. Never went down. Just playing the numbers, trying to beat the closing line, but I just wasn't beating the closing line by enough to make it, substantial. And then had fun doing it for a couple years, and then COVID happened. And when COVID happened, it changed everything. That's when they'd done away with where I worked. They'd done away with all the management positions. The upper management had nothing, so all I had was the betting. Trying to go and interview and find a new job, and never thought that piece of paper would mean anything. But I would get to. I mean, I had 20 years of management experience, every award that you can imagine, worked my ass up all the way. You name it, and I did it. But when you get to the last leg of the interview, and it's between you and someone who's got a college education, I always got bypassed because I didn't have that paper. Well, I didn't need it. I'm fucking 19 years old, and I got 150,000 in the bank. What do I need a college education for? I grew up, gambling was my education, so I thought. So that's when, I was just sitting there trying to bet and make enough to. I mean, I was still drawing, unemployment. So, I mean, I still had some money coming in. So I really didn't have to use any of my bankroll to pay any bills and anything of that nature. And I was told to listen to this podcast by Big D. He goes, man, you got to listen to it. I know you know who Spanky is. And he goes, it's everything you wanted that you always talked about. You're the numbers guy. He tells you how you can get the numbers. What do you mean? Now you can't get the numbers. You got to be in Vegas to get the numbers. Bullshit. Listen to this podcast. So, and it was all, the first podcast I listened to was one from Questions from Twitter, where you answered the questions from Twitter, and that was, I mean, it was, it started everything. It really, I know I've said it to you a few times, but it truly, truly changed my life.
Well, Tim, I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate, that means a lot to me. I create this podcast to try to, if I said if I could just affect one person's life and make them a better, then I feel good about it. For you to just say that I changed your life is pretty, it's humbling to me that my Rinky Dink podcast could reach,
There's nothing rinky dink about it, brother. You've changed not only mine, you've changed way more than you think, and I don't give a shit what anybody says. You've laid it out there. Like one of the things you said, you feed a man a you feed a man a piece of fish, he'll eat for a day. You teach him how to fish, he'll eat for life. And you have taught so many people how to eat for life. And the wins and yes, the financial freedom that I have gained from this, it's a huge, huge win.
Well, we're gonna get into that. I want to get so okay. So you're chopping. You said you're winning and losing a little bit. You're holding your own, collecting unemployment. When do you wisen up and then f try to say I'm gonna put the effort in. I'm gonna put the time in to try to make this my profession. When does that happen exactly?
So in August of 2021, I was a big VSiN guy. I love to watch all the shows. I've saw you come on there, all the people that I respect, in the business. I just wanted to soak it all up. I had nothing else to do at the time. I was either interviewing, then lost my job. So I was interviewing, and if I was driving in the car, I had VSiN on. And I think it was with Mitch and Paulie, they were talking about, this preseason NFL. I was like, man, you can't win preseason NFL. They don't try. How the hell you can win preseason NFL? And they said, just listen to the coaches, pre the conf their conferences. They'll tell you who's going to try and who's not. Well, now I had a little bit of a bankroll, not much. I mean, again, $5,000, which ain't, I mean, it's a lot of money to me at the time, but I was able to listen to that, and I turned that. I mean, I really did. I mean, I would sit there and grind. I'd watch the odd screen, 8 hours a day, trying to get the best of the numbers. I'd see these lines moving, and I didn't know why they were moving or who was moving them, but I would just chart and write down when it was happening, and I would go and try to bet it and see what I could do on this. And I honestly, I turned that 5K bankroll into almost 10K by November. But I knew it still, I mean, it was great to get that kind of information, and it was great to do that. But I knew I wasn't getting the best of it. I mean, I think I lost on one day, I lost two games by half a point. And I mean, I had, a nickel on each one of them, and the number had moved 2 points. I was like, damn, if I just would have got the best of it, instead of dropping 1,100, I would want to, that's a $2,100 turnaround. I said, I've got to figure out how to be able to get the best of it. And it's so I was still at the very beginning of the rest of the football season. I was up and down, up and down, up and down, but my bankroll stayed about the same, so I wasn't losing anything. And then that's when I was Damon told me to, man, you got to listen to this podcast. It's everything. It's everything you need. And that's, well, okay, I'll listen to it. And I did listen to it. And I was like, I mean, I don't, I just wasn't ready to put it into effect. And then, and he did. It was on a Friday. I'll never forget it. And the first day, betting $100 a game, he went like 12-3. And that day, I think I broke even. I think, I lost juice. I said, well, shit. And he was telling me the lines that he got. And I was like, well, how did you get those lines? Listen to the fucking podcast. It tells you how to get them. Next day, he went like 14-4. The next day, 12-8. But over the 3-day weekend, betting 100 hours a game, he done made $2,000 while I'm over here dropping 600. And that's like, well, shit, if you can do it, I know I can do it. I mean, this is, I've been, you know, not that I'm a better than he was at the time, but I said, I just know I can do it. So I started on December the 6th of 2021. You know, you said, for you answered one question that said somebody asked, I think it was out in California. It was like, you know, to get the best of the number, what do you have to do? When do you need to be ready to go? And you said in that famous voice, brother, be locked and loaded at 5 a.m. your time and be in there, bring your piss jar and be ready to go. Don't get out of that seat until you bet it all. Then that's the way, damn, that's easy enough. You mean I just gotta, you know, be ready to go at 8 a.m. And well, shit, I said, well, I'm gonna be ready at 7:30. I had an odd screen that was nowhere near the odd screen that I have now, but at the time, I mean, you know, it was, you know, the lines didn't move as fast, and the outs that I had were a lot softer, which is another story. I mean, that's, you know, now it's ridiculous. I mean, who can't believe a legal book won't take a nickel on a game? Hell, let alone some places won't even take 100 on a game. But in that first day, I looked down after about noon. I think I had 22 bets in. It's like, this shit ain't gonna work. There is no way. I've done bet a quarter of my bankroll, betting 110 a game. Can't make any money like this. Can't make any money like this. When I started grading everything around midnight when all the games were final, I mean, literally, it was, you know, like 15-6. I said, okay. The next day, it was another one of those like 12-5s. And then the next day was a break-even day. It's okay. And then God is my witness, 17-2. And by the time that first week, I mean, betting 100 hours again, I done won 3,000 the first week. And now I'm on, shit, this is the way it's going to be the rest of my life. You know, these slow outs like the MGMs and the points bets and the bet rivers, and you know, I can sit here and bet these. I mean, I wanted to bet them 3 and 4 times a pop because the line would still be there a minute later. The line hadn't moved. I was like, Jesus, they want me to bet, but I stayed the course. You said 1 unit, 1% of your bankroll, of your betting volume. So I was betting 1% of my bankroll, 1 unit per game. And I would sit there and I'd watch that line. I'd watch it and watch it and watch it. And when there were certain books that I knew to be sharp, like Circa, and there was one PPH on the odd screen I was using, and I started just marking when they moved. Did anybody else move? And I mean, I just took notes. And I mean, honestly, it just, you have to, it's so much to learn. And I mean, I knew, you know, what not to do, and I knew what to do, but putting it all into effect and giving it to, you know, taking your what you think out of the equation and giving it to this, I mean, it's one of the hardest things to do, and a lot of people can't do it, but I did, because again, everything you have said in every podcast, I mean, I just listen to everything. I mean, it's 24/7. If I was awake, I was listening to Be Better Betters. I was listening to every single thing I could get on Top Down. And because, again, first week I'd been saw, I mean, 30 units in week one, you know, it was just unreal. So I just
Wow.
kept going down that path, just kept getting up every morning and doing it, every morning and doing it and taking notes. And why did I bet this? Where did I bet it at? When did it move? So then that's when I became, you know, I started realizing there were certain times in the day when the board would blow up. There were certain, I would watch what book I could, that was slow to move during those times. And I just charted everything. And in the meantime, when we, you know, that's where the whole Twitter thing come from. And is that, you know, nobody believed in us. Nobody believed in, you know, me and Damon started this together individually, and nobody believed in us. And everybody thought that I'm going to go down the same path. I can't bet because look what happened to me last time. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose everything. They didn't understand. I'm not, I mean, am I? I don't consider myself gambling anymore. I'm just trading numbers. That's all I'm doing. And just kept winning, and that started posting. And like I said, the first few days I was winning, So if I'd have lost the first day, I wouldn't post anything. I mean, the shit, I only had 10 people following me anyway. But I mean, I'm superstitious like every other gambler. Well, I post, I won. You know, let me keep posting them. I was posting them in real time. Well, hell, the only people seeing them was me and Damon and, you know, some hookers from, you know, Asia somewheres that followed me that were not even real. You know, so, you know, seriously, you know, so, I mean, what the hell? They want to bet, they can bet. And I wasn't telling anybody to go bet these games. I'm just telling them, hey, this is what I'm betting. This is, you know, but it led to so many friendships and networks just by posting a single bet. And they just kept winning. And I wanted to, you know, if I could spread what you taught to, like you said, to my friends or my network or anybody, to teach them how to try to win, and that you can do it. You can win. It's hard. It's very hard. But well, the winning actually is not really hard. You even talk about that. But you can do it. Anybody can do it. If I can do this, anybody can do it. As long as they got a will and a way. That's all they got to have. Chip in a chair and a little fortitude to not give up and be humble and be willing to learn and just be good to people. I mean, I've learned so much just by a random person sends me a DM that I have no clue who they are, and they send me a DM and ask me a question. Well, that's led into not even friendships, but brotherhoods that are more important than any win that I've ever had. So, I mean, it's really, it's just been crazy.
This is an incredible story, Tim. I'm so touched by it, and I'm so happy that you turned your life around and you came back from getting laid off, getting dead broke, to working 18 years in a company, to then having to start over and start gambling again and doing it the right way. That's
Well,
just it's phenomenal.
I mean, again, everything you said, if you know, I'm a, everything you said in every one of your little interviews and pods, it came true. You said it took, you would get your true percentage once you had 500 to 1,000 bets in. It's like, damn, how the hell am I going to get to that many bets? Well, it didn't take long. And after 500 bets, I was hitting over 57%, which is insane. And it was, I mean, insane. But I will say what helped a lot was sitting in that chair, and then some of the like the MGMs of the world, the Wynns of the world at the time, even DraftKings at the time. If the number came back to my number, you could just cash out. You didn't. I mean, you can't cash out with a bookie, you know. But I could just, if I had no value on the game, I would cash out. Or if I saw the number moving back against me, I would try to grab that number and just play a middle in that game. You know, you got 30 bets a night. You know, why pick a fight? You know, move on to the next. Just, you know, try to get the bet. Like you said, if you get the bet, there's nothing wrong with playing a middle if you get the best of it coming and the best of it going. As long as you have value on each bet, that's you're going to have CLV on each bet. So, that was, I mean, that helped. A lot of people couldn't do that. I mean, you know, there was a lot of animosity between friends that I met on Twitter. Well, I've got to bet a bookmaker. You couldn't do this if you bet a bookmaker. Well, fuck, I don't want to bet a bookmaker. I mean, I'm, you know, MGM's letting me bet, you know, a couple hundred a pop. You know, I've got, you know, a friend that's got an MGM account that's letting me bet. And I mean, you know, I gradually upped my unit after the first month from 100 to 200 to 300 to basically it's, I mean, I should be betting more, but it's hard to get down. I mean, that's the hardest part is winning became easy. Then that's the next phase is I got to get down.
Winning is just the beginning. There's another podcast episode that
Yeah, absolutely.
winning is just the beginning. So Tim, like let's describe a typical day, because this is there's a lot of people listening to this. And look, I every time I record an episode or I bring somebody that's super professional on, that's spent 30 years of their life, 40 years of life doing this shit. So just like me, a professional, a bookmaker, a sports bettor, syndicates, whatever it is. You're like an inspiration story, Tim, where, there's a lot of people that are sitting, listening to this at home, in their car, working, on their way to work, or whatever it is, or coming home. That's like, listen, Timmy could do this. Why can't I? Why can't it be me? Just like Big D, you said Big D did it. Why can't I do it? So there's a lot of people that are sitting there saying, can I be a semi-pro, pro sports bettor? What does it take? How easy is it? How hard is it? What are you struggling with? I want to hear, first off, let's go with a typical day in the life of Tim Fraley.
What typical now? I mean, in the beginning, changed a little bit to what typical is
Yeah,
now.
let's talk
And
about now. I want to talk about now.
now,
Well, no, you could talk about whatever.
well, I mean, in the beginning, for anybody just starting, again, you have to have an odds screen. And I mean, of course, after I was lucky enough to, to beta test for you, before the public, I was hooked. I mean, I got to have it. Spank Odds is just, I mean, I'm not trying to do any kind of infomercial. I'm just speaking truths. Anybody who knows me knows that I never had Don Best. I mean, I never did. But I know people who've had it for 30 years, been grandfathered in, that have switched and changed to Spank Odds. You got to have a live odds screen, preferably Spank Odds. It's got with all the books that you have no idea that are sharp. You know what I mean? And I didn't know they were. Nobody told me. I didn't ask you any questions when you give me the keys to the castle. You didn't give me any hints or anything. I just went and I just would chart. So on a typical day, getting up, be ready, have your coffee made, be in the chair. I mean, now the numbers are moving faster, but be ready to go by 7:30. Used to be 8 o'clock to me. I want to be ready at 7:30. 7:30, have everything ready, locked and loaded. Make sure your numbers are graded from the night before. You start fresh. You've got to keep track of if you're winning your bets. You got to know exactly what your winning percentage is, how many units you're up. It's important. It's easy to sit there and say, I've won this. No, nope, you better know how much you won. I know how much I've won. And that's important. But you have to be locked and loaded, have all your apps or your accounts that you've got fired up, ready to go. And then now it was just a one or two man show where I was just watching a screen, or me and Big D maybe working the phone together and calling out games, and he may be on one screen and I'm on the other, as far as NBA or college, or so we got a set of eyes on. But you have to be able to sit in that chair, dedicate for the next solid 6, 7 hours without taking a break, and watch and be ready to go and grab and get as much volume as you can. I mean, that's as long as you can beat the closing line, you grab it. You grab the, but don't take bad numbers. So and there's so many games. If I get pissed off if I see a game move from 2 to 4 and I missed it, well, you just got to let it go. I'm not going to take four now. I don't care if it goes to seven. I can't take it. You've instilled the discipline. That's what your method, the top-down method, has instilled the discipline in the where there is no more going on tilt. There is no more ever losing everything that you got. You stay the course, you stick to the system, and if you get the best of it, you that's a play, you go. And so I'm constantly just sitting here staring at the screen and watch a few trigger books that now that I know are the trigger books. I'll get caught in a fake every once in a while. But again, if the line moved and I got the best of it, and the line's coming back and I get the best of it coming back, fuck it. That's a play. Let's go. We'll move on to the next. I mean, and now with experience and the networking and everything that it's came along in this crazy 2 year journey, now I got a good idea who's moving the market. So do I trust the source? And then there's a lot of people, they're not really fakes. They're just people that just, there's difference of opinions. And when that happens, I mean, I can sit there on a Tuesday and have great value on a game that starts on Saturday, but by Wednesday, I'm upside down on it. Well, I'm just going to ride the original source. That was the right. No, I'm not riding nothing. I'm riding the market. If the market says it's not a play, then it's not a play. I don't give a shit who came with it. Yeah, that's what you taught. Just get the best of it. Get the best going, best coming. And if there's no value, it's not a play. So that's the thing. You just got to, I mean, honestly, it's a grind. It's nothing sexy about it. It's nothing easy about it. You take your eyes off the screen, you've done missed. I mean, it could be dead for an hour, but all of a sudden in 10 minutes, you've missed 15 plays you could have had. So that's so you got to have better have Spank Odds, and you better have the will and the fortitude to stick to the script. And if you don't get the best of it, pass. Too many people I know And great friends of mine, like, they'll see I get a number and they'll take a number that's worse, even though they got value. I said, "Don't, you can't do it. Every half point matters." All those games that I was losing, that I was a 50% better, now I'm getting the best of it. Now you're getting 55, 56% just because you're getting the best of it. And that's the key. You've got to get the best of it. And most people, the hardest part is taking what you think out of it. Now, if you're able, if you have the time, you have the dedication, you have the knowledge, and you have the ability, you can set, like, just like me on, I mean, my first table was I bought a $40 folding table at Walmart and a matching chair. And shit, you don't need all this fancy stuff. You need an eye screen and an ability to get down. I mean, that's all you got to have. And that's what, I mean, is it hard? Yeah. But can it be done? Of course it can be done if you allow yourself to do it. And that's the problem. A lot of people don't want to take the time. They want it too easy. They want somebody to give them a pick. I mean, there's a lot of people that, a lot of respected people that sell picks that move the market. But if I had to depend upon one person and subscribe to a tout to make my living, then I'm finding something else. I could be just a part of it, but I'm not relying upon one group or two groups to, and that a lot of people, they get caught up in that well, these people always win. Just the market wins. Just follow the market. I've bet 13,085 games, and I've probably posted 12,900 of them in live time. And if, one thing I would like to think, if anybody can see one thing, if the system's not broke, don't fix it. Stay the course. I mean, if I can do it, you can do it as well, as long as you have the fortitude, to do it and stick with it.
The way you talk, Tim, I wish this was a system that I sold, that you sorry,
Bro,
that I would be able to make money, because
lose.
you're like an incredible testimony. I wish I could earn to this, but I can't. Like the way you it's like an incredible the way you make it sound, and I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. Everything you're saying is great. I'm happy that I'm able to share the knowledge. But I wish I could have earned to it in some way,
Well.
but I earned to it not financially. I earned to it internally, emotionally, where I could touch people's lives. So that's it, you know what I mean? So that's more than anything at this point in my life. I want to talk about some, like, limiting and stuff, because obviously, when you're getting a closing line value, when you're beating the number, limiting, how do you handle that? Do you have ways around it you'd rather not say? You have
No, I
friends,
mean, I'm open book. I don't give a shit. I don't hide behind any kind of fake personas. My name's Tim Fraley. I filed bankruptcy twice in my life. I've had it all, had nothing. I am who the fuck I am, and I'm proud of who I am. And my inner circle, they're proud of who I am and where I've come. Nope, there's too much people that's got to be right, or too many people that want to look down upon people in this industry. What the fuck, we're all trying to win.
Exactly.
Just Spanky, if you went brand new black Escalade, that was your dream car. You go to get that car, you got the number you wanted, you got all the bells and whistles on it, and you bought that car. 20 seconds down the road, I go down and I buy the exact same car at the exact same number. Why would you give a shit?
I
Why
wouldn't.
would you? You would, but I post a play on Twitter and people go fucking ape shit. Because, well, I don't get it. I don't get it. Let's all earn. Let's all win. If I can help one person, like you've helped me, and that's if I can teach anybody, that's why my DMs are always open. And all I'm doing is spreading. I'm spreading your word. I mean, it's not like I'm. It's just that's all I'm doing. I'm trying to teach people that if you do this, you can do it.
How do you handle
So.
being limited, Tim, is what I'm at.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. So it's bullshit. I mean, you can't bet down. I'm limited at every legal out in the state of Indiana besides Caesars, and Caesars will take whatever I want, but they're harder to get down at. So I've had to go into the with working with partners or working or grabbing a whole lot of new family members and coming through the back door, which I have, and they just keep churning and churning. And I mean, it's funny, the more I went on Twitter, the more family members I got coming. I mean, it's so we just I just keep churning and burning, but I've been able to from contacts to be able to get more outs. that people will share. I'll give them, we just try to help one another. So, I mean, just like one of your the last podcast, it's all about outs and information and outs. So now once you get limited and once you learn how to win, moves into the hard part, getting down. And it's been a little bit harder this past year. This past year I'm hitting, right at 55% compared to 57% the year before. Because I've not had I don't have the longevity at the soft outs like I did. And you do finally run out of family members that you can help, so to speak. So that it's ridiculous that, I just got limited at a book. And I'm gonna say Hard Rock in Indiana. Had never opened an account there. I bet with them for 7 days and I lost $1,400. I got cut to 10 bucks. Now, what kind of sense does that make?
Yeah.
You send them an email and they said it's a business decision. So then, you're forced to go the illegal route and bet with bookies, which one of my partners just got stiff for a substantial amount. That is, it's pretty, it's devastating, but that's the business we're in now. And that's where I've had to keep adapting, that the soft outs, they're not there anymore. So you got to move on to the next phase. I don't want to be a one-hit wonder. You got to keep adapting and keep learning and keep networking. And that's where I'm the stage I'm at right now is, trying to learn this, what you got to do. Cause I never dreamed a legal book wouldn't take $100 from somebody, let alone 500.
Yeah. Tim, your story is inspiring. It's amazing. So you're currently a professional sports bettor at this point. This is all your only source of income.
That's all, only source of income. That's all I do.
Amazing. So awesome. I'm so happy for you, brother. I met you at Bet Bash, was able to shake your hand. And hearing your story is so it inspires me, and I'm sure it inspires others.
Well,
This can be done, and even me, man. Part of me, honestly, Tim, like I kind of advise people not to enter this business at this stage because I got a lot of connections, I got a lot of outs, I got a lot of hookups, and all this thing. But it took me decades to build that ship. You did it at the time where I thought it was a lot harder to do it. Than when I was coming up, and you were able to do it, and you're still adapting. So kudos to you, man, for being able to make this a living, and to be able to stay the course and have that discipline to not go stay not go crazy and not overbet your bankroll and just doing all the right things, man. I just love hearing it, and it really is it's amazing, bro. Like I'm so proud of like. I guess you could call me a teacher, where but you weren't. It's not like you're my student or you're just a listener of my podcast.
That's it. I just listen. That's it.
I never taught you anything. I never
Nothing.
talked to you or anything. Like, there's never
Nothing.
a time. So, it's not really you're just a listener to a podcast and.
Just like any random dude on the street, on the subway, on his way home from work. Just I happened to, I was told to listen to it by a friend. I mean, I love everything there was. I've been surrounded by it all my life. I didn't want to go down the same road I did before. I wanted to instill to make sure that that never happened. And I mean, right from the bat, everything you said on your podcast came true. And in 2 years, I've won a shit pot full. Now, what I say is a shit pot full is not to you or many people, but it's, I mean, I've made double what I made working 50 hours a week, pounding pavement, at a stinking ass mall. I made double that a year each year. But that's not why I told you changed my life. And I know I've told you this past before, but at that time when I lost my job was the same time my dad, who was my hero and my everything, became diagnosed with dementia. He fell and broke his hip. And at the same time I was able when I started this and started winning, I was able to keep him home until the very, very end and able to take care of him and spend that time with him for the last part of his life and doing the same thing for my mom right now. And then, and why this is so important, I do want to express this in the past, because I did, when tragedy happens to me in the past, I fled the wrong direction. In August of 2022, I lose my dad. Soon after, a relationship, went astray. And the old me, if that happened, I would have went down the same path I did before. Run to the bottle, run to something that's going to ease the pain, kill the pain. I had the structure. You taught me the structure. I still was able to continue to, despite all the shit going on in my life, was able to stay the course, don't go on tilt, and just kept get up and working. It was a purpose for me to get up to work, because that I knew it was going to take my mind off it, and I knew, I mean, man's got to eat. There's no days off. You gotta keep going. So that's the reason why I say you changed my life. You gave me to be able to take care of my parents the way they took care of me, and stood up for me when nobody else would. And I was at my worst. So a lot of trials and tribulations, but I feel like that I've got to pay that debt, and I paid that debt because of you and what you taught.
I didn't do it. I listen, man, this is like you're getting me emotional here. All I did was just talk on a podcast, brother. I did nothing. This was all you.
It's you can say that, but it's
You did everything, brother. This is
you
all you.
taught me how to be a you taught me how to be a better, which
Well,
enabled me to be enabled me to do the things that I needed to do on a personal level.
God bless you,
So
brother. I'm so happy for you, man. I'm so happy you were doing this to keep and keep doing what you're doing. You're a good man. And taking care of elderly parents is a sign of a great man. And my mom till she's 91, and I'm taking care of her, and it's a blessing from God to be able to do that and be there for them
amen.
when they need you the most, my man. Tim, you're the best, brother. This is incredible, man. I'm so touched by everything you've said, and I hope everyone else is inspired by this story. You kind of gave so many tidbits and what you could do. Essentially, work your ass off and don't take breaks. But maybe anything else that as you know, I always ask a final question. Name of the podcast, Be Better Betters. What bit of advice, you've heard all the advice from all the episodes we've made, Tim, but what bit of advice can you give, or what bit of advice is the most important in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say, I mean, of course, the numbers matter, and that's number one. But number one is be humble, and just don't be afraid to ask a question. Don't be afraid to not have an answer. There's so many people in this journey on Twitter that's asked me questions, and I've asked them questions in return, and I've been able to learn. You don't have an ego in this. We're all trying to win. So be humble, have humility, and be willing to accept new things. That's that you have to. What you think you know today may not be what's good tomorrow. And you got just be willing to learn, be willing to listen, and be willing to be humble. And somebody sends you a DM, and I don't, if you've never heard them before, answer. You never know. I've gained lifetime brotherships from a simple DM that's turned into partnerships, that's turned into outs, that's turned into information, that's going to in. I don't give a shit if I ever may win another bet. I've got family for life now from this cesspool people want to call. And I don't ask for anything. I don't try to scale up. You just be good to people. Be good, and good things will happen. That's the bottom line.
Love it. Timmy, you're the man. Keep doing what you're doing. I can't wait to see you at Bet Bash next year. Hopefully even before then, if you're ever in town. It's such an honor to be your friend, brother. You're a great man.
Appreciate you more than you know, my man.
Thanks so much for the time. Until next time.